I want to read a verse of scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 58. Now, this is when David had gone out and slain Goliath. David was a teenager. He was a shepherd boy. Three of his brothers were in the army of Saul, and he'd gone out to the army at his dad's wishes to bring some food to his sons and other soldiers. And while he was there, that's when it started with Goliath, this champion of the Philistines, this huge man, some 9 foot tall, came out defying the Israelites, and he'd been doing that for 40 days. Anyway, you know the story well. I don't need to go into it. David went out without any armor on, just as he was dressed as a shepherd boy, and he took a sling, and you know the story. He killed him, chopped off his head. Now, this is the end bit of that, when he brings back the head to Saul. It says, as soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with David, still holding the Philistine's head. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. What an interesting question to ask this boy. If I was King Saul, I think I would have been asking all sorts of things. But what question did he ask him when he came back with this Philistine's head in his hand? He was holding the Goliath's head. As a result of that, the Israelites won the battle. It was incredible. It was a day of triumph for Israel. He went out, David, against the Philistines' champion. And David came back the Israelite champion. If I was King Saul, I would have been wanting to ask all sorts of questions. But Saul looked down at him, because Saul was a tall man himself. He looked down at this boy and he says, whose son are you? Or who's your father? Isn't that an interesting question? No other question. Who's your father? Why would he ask such a question as that? I would have said, David, where did you learn to fight like that? David, where did you get that faith from? David, you're such a man of integrity. You're a champion. I would have been saying all those things, but not, who's your father? That was important for Saul to know who had brought this young man up. Because obviously Saul saw something in him that he realized had been passed on to him by his family. Who is your father? That question comes to us today, especially on Father's Day. Who is your father? What do you say about your father? Pastor Pamela almost stole quite a bit of my message this morning, because some of you know my history and you know my testimony, but a lot of you don't. So I thought it would be good just to run through a couple of things that if you was to say to me, who is your father? I couldn't answer it as boldly as what David did. Whose son are you? I am the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem. My dad, I didn't really know him. Oh, I lived with him. He was about 52, I think, when Mum gave birth to me. I was number 6 or 7 in line then. And I never really got to know him. The only time I heard him speak, and to me, was when he was either drunk or when he was angry and he was going to beat me. I can't ever remember sitting on his knee, not once. I can never ever remember him kissing me or hugging me, ever. I had no good memories of my father except drunkenness and fighting with my mum. And times when I would see my mum crying because she didn't know where the next meal was going to come through. And my dad would be in the pub. And he would be buying people drinks, drunk. I didn't know him well at all. We came to Australia when I was 28 years of age. I did say goodbye to him. In fact, he did come down to the train station to see us off. And I never saw him again after that. I didn't know him. And I used to get angry with my father, especially before I became a Christian. Why would he treat me like this? Why would he treat Mum like he did? Why did he do these things? What was wrong with him? And as a result of that, I became a pretty bad boy in my early days. I became an angry young man, joined a gang, and did a lot of violence. But then I got born again. I got saved. I got wonderfully saved. I remember excuses that Mum used to make for Dad at times, saying, "You don't know what he's been through. You don't know how his mother treated him horribly." Now, my wife Julie, she had for a father a brutal man. I mean, a brutal man. He died at the age of about 56, and nobody was sad to see him go. And Julie's mum used to try to make excuses for him and say, "Oh, his mum and dad treated him horribly. He was always getting thrashed at home." So I heard that from about Julie's dad, and I heard it about my dad. And I got saved at the age of 15. And I determined, as Pastor Pamela said, just at a very young age, that if I get married and I have children, I'm going to break that cycle. I'm going to break that cycle. If my dad was like he was because of his mum or dad, and my wife's dad because of his mum and dad, does that mean then, have I got to be like that? Is that what they brought me into? And I think if I hadn't got born again, I probably would have. If I hadn't got born again, I probably would have ended up a drunkard. I would have been on drugs. I was a gang leader. But I got born again at the age of 15. Just a little bit younger than what David was here when he slew Goliath. And I suddenly realized something. I've got a great father. A heavenly father. I realize that. Now, very sadly, I've learned more about my dad since he's been dead than when he was alive. We never talked as a family. My older brothers knew a bit more about him than what I did. But we discovered that he had actually was in we knew that he was in Gallipoli in the First World War. He got wounded with shrapnel in the First World War. Then he got wounded again in the trenches in France. He got gassed. He had a horrific time, 4 years. He was a young man when he joined, and it was horrific what he went through. And at the end of the war, he was one of the soldiers left on the continent burying people who were dying from the flu. He buried hundreds of people that were there cleaning up the mess of all that was made. So I understand what he'd gone through. When he came back from the war, he was a hardened man, and he took to drinking. And he didn't want to talk. And he should never have got married. He was actually 38 years of age when he married my mum, who was 20. My mum had run away from home. My mum was brought up in a Christian home, and she ran away when she was 14, 15. She wanted to be a dancer. And anyway, to cut a long story short, she had a child before she even met my dad. Then she met him, had a child straight away with him, and my grandmother made them get married. But he was 38. He should never got married, but he had 8 kids. 8 kids who he never bothered about. 8 kids that he never really showed love and compassion to. But we learned, when I'd come to Australia, that he had kept a diary while he was in Gallipoli in France. When he joined the war, he kept a diary. He wrote it in pencil. My father was an artist. He was very good. I get my artistic thing from him. It was passed down from him to me. I didn't realize that at the time, but I've got a little painting at home that he did. And I realized, wow, my dad was an artist. He was he used to do painting and decorating, but also he used to do all sorts of writing beautifully. But he used to just drink it all away. And he would be very brutal. it often take a poker to me and hit me and beat me. And all I'd done was got a scuff on my shoes. And all my shoes that I got were not new. They were all second hand. We never had anything. So I saw the brutality of my father. But then I found that he'd kept this diary. And it was a day-by-day diary of him in the trenches as a young man. He was about 23, 24 when he went to Gallipoli. And he kept a diary in pencil every single day of the 4 years he was in the war. That diary now has been passed on to a military museum in England. Apparently it's very valuable. And it was written in pencil. So it's well over 100 years old now. But they're looking, because he described the war and what he was going through. I never read the diary. I've read little bits of it that I saw in the newspapers since being here, but I never read it. So I don't know what it says, but people tell me who have. It was incredible. That there was a stage when he was a good man. There was a stage when he was an honorable man. There was a stage when he was not a drunkard. But something happened in that war that just destroyed him. And I didn't know this. I didn't know it. But the last Sunday that I preached was the Sunday before I came to Australia. I preached in our church. I was a youth leader, an elder in the church. And I preached on the Sunday. And on the Monday, we left for Australia. On that Sunday, my dad, because he's an old man then, came to church. Because it was my last. He'd never been before. He came. My mum had come, and my mum had got saved, and she died of cancer some years before. But Dad came as an old man, sat on the back row. I will never forget it. I preached, and I asked people to give their hearts to Jesus. Put your hand up if you want to become a Christian. He put his hand up. And I thought, whoa. So I prayed for everybody who put their hand up. I would have loved, I should have perhaps rushed to him and hugged him and prayed for him. But we had no relationship. The relationship we had has been a bad one. And the next day, he came down to wave me off with my family. Well, we'd been in Australia just a few years. It was around about, 77, 78, my wife went back for a holiday to see her family. I didn't go back because I couldn't afford to go back. I had just bought a garage, and that's where my money went. And I said, I'll buy that. You can go for a holiday to England. So she went to England. My father then was in hospital dying. He was an old man. He was 89, and he was dying. And she said to the family, I'm going to go and visit Daddy's in hospital, and they says he won't know you. He doesn't know anybody. You walk in there, he won't know you. He opens his eyes, he's dying. But she determined to go. This is true. This is what Julie told me when she got back. She said, I walked into the hospital, saw him in the bed. There were loads of people in the bedroom. He wasn't in a private hospital at all. And as she walked towards him, he opened his eyes and he saw her. And he said to her, as she came up to the bed, Julie. So he knew who she was. He knew her name. He says, Julie, tell John I believe. Now, I don't know whether my dad's in heaven. I like to think he is. But he said that. So I think that's something to me that is a blessing and is a reward. But I have wishes that I had a good dad. I would have loved to have had a dad that would have cared for me and put me on his knee and hugged me and took me to place. I would have loved that. But I didn't have such a father as that. I didn't know that he kept a diary that he kept, which would have given me an insight into the kind of man that he used to be. I didn't know any of those things at all. But at the age of 15, I got born again. At the age of 15, I found that I had a father who really cared for me. I had a father who really loved me, our Heavenly Father. If you was to say to me, John, like they did to David, who's your father? Whose son are you? Do you know what my answer is? I'm the son of my Heavenly Father. The one who's cared for me. Not just gave me birth. My dad gave birth to me. My dad caused me to life in me because of my dad. But my Heavenly Father not only gave me birth, He's given me life after that birth as well. I have a Heavenly Father that I can call Him Father. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, it was quite incredible. Jesus was about 30 years of age when he started his ministry. He drew his disciples. And the oldest disciple was probably Peter, about 10 years older than Jesus. So these were all grown men around him. There was a couple that would have been younger than him. But on one occasion, they came to him and he says, Master, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, these are Jews. They've been praying since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. The Jews knew how to pray. And they came to Jesus and they said, Peter was amongst them, 10 years older than Jesus. Teach me how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so Jesus taught them that beautiful prayer that we all know, our Father who art in heaven. But this is how he started it. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Stop there. Just those words alone was revolutionary for those Jewish disciples. Jews did not refer to God as their Father. You don't find any of it. You don't find any reference to them calling God their Father. There's only just a few odd references in the Old Testament. They wouldn't refer to him as Father. He's God, Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh. He's Almighty God. And Jesus did something that they were not expecting. He was teaching God. He was teaching the gospel. He was teaching good news. He was going around the villages, teaching people, healing people, raising people from the dead. He had mighty power. And they saw that when he prayed, things happened. That's why they said, teach us to pray. They say, when you pray, things happen. Come on, we've been praying all our lives, but we don't get the response you get. Teach us to pray. And the very first thing he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Bang! Revolutionary. How could Almighty God, the Hebrew God, Yahweh, be a father? But he is. It's recorded twice in the New Testament when Jesus talked to God that he called him Abba in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So that word Abba is an interesting word. It is actually the Hebrew word. In the Hebrew, it is actually equivalent to dad. Dada. And it was a first word that Hebrew mothers would want their children to learn. So they would try to teach them the word dada. So that when they were in the little cot there and they could say dada, when he came in from work, they'd say, come over here, John, come here. Listen to this. And the dad would look down at the baby and the baby would look at the dad and go, dada, dada, Abba, Abba. Jesus called the father, Abba, dad. Dad, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then Paul speaks in Romans 8 about Abba. The Spirit of Jesus is coming to our hearts whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you know what that says to me? That says relationship. Let me just say this. It was lovely what Pastor Pamela said about me this morning. It really moved my heart. And Stephen, I know, feels the same. David does. There are only three people in this world. Only three people can call me dad. I got lots of grandkids and great-grandkids. That many, I can't number them. And Pop, grandpop or great-grandpop. But there are only three people can call me dad, legally. Those who I've given birth to, those who have come from my line, are legally able to call me dad. You'll call me John, and I don't mind you calling me John. I don't mind, that's my name. But you can't call me Dad. Now, only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can call God their Father. Yes. He says in John chapter 1, As many as received him, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he says, as many as received him, that's Jesus, God gave those people who received Jesus the power or the authority to become sons of God. Now, let's just stop at that. But that's in John chapter 1. You can read that for yourself. It's a beautiful chapter. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was a light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness could not comprehend it. The darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness could not put the light out. He is our light. And he says, and the Word was made flesh. Verse 14 of John chapter 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God. The Word is God. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten, full of grace and full of truth. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. But as many as received him, verse 12, he gave them the right or the privilege or the honor to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is my Father. He's my Father because I've been born again. Amen? Come on. I've been birthed into the kingdom by the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. He is my Father. Not only have I been birthed, listen to this, I've got a double whammy here. I've been birthed by the Spirit, and I've also been adopted. The scripture says we've been adopted. We have the spirit of adoption. How many of you know that? You remember some of you have heard me say this before, but it'll do for those who haven't, bear with me. Once I remember hearing this beautiful story of this child that came home one day, and his dad says to him, well, how did you get on school today? Okay. He says, anything good happened? He says, well, yes, it did. He says, the teacher was talking about parents, mums and dads, and he says, and dad, I'm adopted, aren't I? And he says, yes, son, we told you you are adopted. He said, well, I was looking around the classroom and all these kids, I've got a lot of good friends, and I looked at them all and I thought, their parents never had a choice in what they had. They had to have just what came along. Come on. You can't choose whether you're going to have a boy or a girl. You can't choose what you're going to look like. You can't choose what you're going to always behave like. You got no choice. He says, but dad, you did have a choice. You came and adopted me. You personally saw me, and you liked what you saw, and you adopted me. So I reckon I'm pretty special. When I heard that, I thought, yep, that's me and God. God adopted me, even though I was a rat bag of a kid, even though I was on the wrong tracks, even though I could have really messed up my life, he adopted me when I was a bad kid, when I was a bad lad, when I was a sinner, when I swore and cursed and blasphemed. And Pamela says she's never heard me swear, but before I got saved, I had a filthy, dirty mouth, and the F word was every second word. I had a dirty mouth, but why I had a dirty mouth? When I was a thief and a person who liked to hurt other people, he loved me. And he adopted me. Glory to God. So I've been born again and adopted. Come on. You try and better that if you can. And so have you. If you believe in Jesus, you're born again. You got a new birth. And if you believe in Jesus, you're adopted. You got a double whammy. You've got a legal right into God's family. And if you're not adopted or born into a family, you don't have a legal right in that family. That gives you the legal right. I have a legal right now. And I can say to you right now, I know who my dad is. I know who my father is. And I love my heavenly father. I hope that I'll see my natural daddy in heaven. And I'll see my mom. God never followed through. You know, it was very difficult to get you to understand. Like at the train station when we went, We never hugged. Our family never hugged. I remember once when my brother, my eldest brother, came to Australia to visit us once. And we stayed with us, and we went to see him off at the airport. And at the airport, I said, "Tom, you got to go in there." He said, "Yeah, I've got to go." He was 10 years older than me. And I put my arms around him and I hugged him, and he stood like this. I kid you not. Because we never did that. Our family never hugged, never kissed. And some of you have had those experiences. Some of you have had experiences with me. Some of you got a wonderful dad. God bless you. That's great. Some of you got wonderful parents, mums and dads. Others have got estranged families. Not strange, estranged. Broken families. And strange. My family was a strange family. And dysfunctional, that's what we call it today. That word dysfunctional wasn't around when I was a kid. They were just, I won't tell you what you say what they were. But it's just, dysfunctional. But some of you have had good parents, and you want to thank God for that. And can I say this? Your parents, while you've got the opportunity, give them a hug and a kiss. It might shock them. Today, if you get the opportunity to see your dad, go hug your dad. Give him a kiss. And then hug your mum. Give her a kiss. There's nothing wrong in that. My greatest regret in all my life is that I never hugged my mother and kissed her. And I never hugged and kissed my dad. I loved my mother. I used to do things for my mother. I did a lot of things for mother. I used to help her in many, many ways. I loved her. But we just never talked of love in the house. We never hugged you. That just was not how it was in those days. I was born during the Second World War, and there's a lot of bad things happened afterwards. So my greatest regret is, but I'll tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'm going to hug my mum. I'll probably hang on to her for a million years, just hugging her. If my dad's there, I'm going to give him a big hug as well. And all of my brothers and sisters have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They know him. And I'm going to finish with this. I may not have had a great father, but God has made up 100-fold for that. Because my God is a wonderful heavenly father who cares for me. See, I once preached a sermon on what should a father do. What is a father's responsibility? And I see it as twofold. I see a father's responsibility is to provide and protect. Not much more than that. A father needs to provide for his family and protect the family, which my dad hardly ever did. That's what a father does. And I can honestly say to you right now, my heavenly father has always provided for me, and my heavenly father has always protected me. So if you are a person like me that hasn't had parental love as you would have liked it, don't become hard. Don't become bitter. Don't live in anguish and bitterness. Break the cycle. Break the cycle. And you love those around you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Come on, all of you. You love those around you. Let's show love. Let's show concern. Let's show grace to people. Let's be gracious to people. Let's be loving and caring, just like our Father has been to us. And he didn't have to be, because I haven't been perfect since I became a Christian. Far from it. Nevertheless, he's never let me down. He's never failed me. He's never stopped providing for me. And he's never, ever stopped protecting me. So, Father, I thank you for that. You've protected me. Times that these people don't even know about. Your protection is so real. You've covered me on many occasions. You've not exposed me. You've covered me, washed me in the blood over and over again. I thank you for it, Father, because I know that I'm going to spend eternity with you. I'm going to spend eternity with my God. When you pray, say, "Our Father, our Father, my Father." Everybody say "our Father." Come on.
Our Father.
Now say "my Father."
My Father.
Now you're focusing now on God. You may say to me, "But John, I don't see him." Let me just tell you something. I wished I had access to my dad's diary years and years ago. I didn't. But I've got access to my Heavenly Father's diary. Come on. He's written it for me. This diary tells me how wonderful he is, how marvelous he is, how glorious he is, how righteous he is. This beautiful diary tells me that God loves me, cares for me, washes me in the blood. This diary tells me that right now God is preparing a place for me in heaven. This beautiful diary tells me that God keeps lifting me up. We've sang some beautiful songs today. He lifts us out of the mud and the mire. He breaks the chains that the devil wants to put on us to bind it. He sets us free. Be free. Be free. And the only way you'll get free is by reading this diary. Yes. Read the good book. You've got it. They're not hiding it. My dad hid this. All those years he hid that diary, never spoke about it, never let anybody know till after his death it came into being. We saw it. Our God isn't hiding his diary from you. It's there for you to read. And if you don't read it, when you get to heaven, you've only got yourself to blame. Because you may say, I can't see him. Oh, yes, you can. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. We see Jesus through the Word. We see the Word through the Word. God has given you the best diary of all. Hallelujah. So if you can't say, my Father, it's your own fault. Because he's not hiding from you. He's exposed before you. Jesus exposed himself before the world. They hung him on a cross naked. He gave all for you. He's not hiding from you. Don't you hide from him. I want us to do something now. I want us to say the Lord's Prayer. And I want to use the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer, because that's one that most of us know. And the word in King James says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed means holy. So when you say hallowed or hallowed, hallowed is holy. You're saying, my Father, our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. Okay, so we're going to use the old King James Version. Now, just to get you into the flow of this, I want you to say again, my Father. Everybody say it now. My Father. Now we'll say our Father. Our Father. I'm looking to see if you're all, some of you got masks on, so I can't tell whether you're opening your mouth or not, but I'm hoping that you are. I'm hoping that all of you here know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And before we say the Lord's Prayer, I want to ask people here, and this isn't going to take long, I've almost finished. How many people here would like to know God a whole lot better than what you do? You'd like to know him in a real personal way. Maybe you've lacked a father, but maybe you've had a wonderful father. That's not the point. But maybe God is a bit estranged from you. Not because God's hidden from you, but maybe because of circumstance, in a way we hide from him, or we try to. But this morning you think, no, I want to know God. And I don't want to know him just as a judge, God. He is God. He is almighty. He's all-powerful. As Pastor Pamela says, he's the first and last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. But I want to know him as a father. I want to be able to cry before him. I want to be able to feel that I can spiritually hug him. I want to be able to call him Abba, Dad. I want to get personal with him and know that he loves me and I love him. If that's you, and you would like a prayer, will you just stand where you are just now? I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, if you say, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Quite a few of you. Yeah, God. In fact, just come out to the front. We've got time. Come to the front. Come on out. And others that feel they need to join them, you come as well. Don't stay there if you know you need to get this parenthood right with God. He's your Heavenly Father. Anybody else needs to come. And if you do, don't be shy. And I know God's speaking to other people. I can feel it in my spirit. When I give an appeal, I know when God is still speaking, and he's still speaking to some of you in there that's staying seated. And don't stay sitting down. Come on. You come. If you need to come, if you don't need to, that's okay. I'm not saying come if you don't need to, but if you know that you need that fatherhood of God, then come and join these people with prayer. We're going to pray for them just now. And I want everybody here that's sitting down to reach out your hands to these people. Just reach out to them just now. Father, I thank you for all these people here today. Lord, you've got so much to teach us, so much to show us, so much to explain to us, Lord. Father, help us to be open to it. Lord, just as I feel sorry that I never personally held or read my father's diary. Lord, you know the pain that that gives me. But Lord, I thank you that I can see that which you have written for me, which supersedes anything in this world. And I pray that these people out the front now, they're your children, Lord. They've been adopted by you. They're born again. And if they're not, Lord, I pray that right now, Spirit of Jesus come into their hearts, cause them to be born again, washed from their sin, and given the gift of eternal life. I pray that they'll go from this place this morning, Lord, really understanding, really grasping what it means for you to be their father and they to be your child, your son, your daughter. Lord, fill them right now with a sense of your presence. Holy Spirit, just put your arms around them. Jesus, come and just love them. I just pray, Jesus, you'll just show them your compassion. And Father, I pray you put your loving arms around each of these people right now at this front. Now. I ask it in the name of Jesus. May your blessing be their portion, that, Lord, they will know they're adopted and they're born again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now stay here. Don't sit down yet. Stay. The rest of you stand. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. We've got it up here in the King James Version. If we can have it up on the screen here. Okay. We're going to say it. Okay. You're going to say it out loud and clear. Everybody, I don't want anybody to stand like this. None of you are ventriloquists. Come on, I want you to speak it out. And if you don't, God's going to see that. Is he your father? I want you to speak it out as if there's nobody else here, just you and God. Speak it out loud and clear. Come on then, let's say it now. Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless and magnify the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name. Father, I just pray this will be a great day for every one of us. Lord, as we go and mix with family and friends, I pray your presence will go with each one of us. And Lord, if there are people here who need to make amends with regards to fathers or mothers or family, I pray that they'll do it, Lord. If they need to sit down and write a letter or an email or send a card or go and visit, I pray that will happen. Lord, don't let us hold unforgiveness in our hearts. It's a terrible thing. Lord, you don't hold it towards us. May we not hold it towards others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive them who trespass against us. So Lord, send us from this place rejoicing in the goodness of our God, because you are our Father. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.